Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul is back. Follow Jimmy McGill's devolution from a small-time attorney to Breaking Bad's Saul Goodman on Better Call Saul. I watch it. PFT watches it. Hank watches it. It is a great show. The series takes place roughly 5 years before Saul Goodman meets Walter White. Saul is known as Jimmy McGill. Jimmy is a more or less law-abiding, small-time attorney hustling to champion his underdog clients, build his practice, and somehow make a name for himself. Listen, if you watched Breaking Bad, and I assume a lot of you did, you have to watch Better Call Saul. That's a no-brainer. So check it out. The premiere is Monday, April 10th at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. It is Monday, April 10th at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. It's only on AMC. Better Call Saul. Get it going. Oh, Gus Fring's back. Get excited. AMC, April 10th. Check it out. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lisa. Lisa mattresses are the Tom Shoes or Warby Parker of the mattress industry. They're available exclusively online, and they start at just $525. The mattress ships compressed in a box directly to your door, so you don't have to deal with those huge mattresses. You don't have to be that guy who has the mattress on the top of their car endangering all the lives of everyone on the highway. Lisa will send it to you with a 100-night risk-free trial, free shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, and it is 100% American-made. It is a comfortable, beautiful mattress, 10-inch hybrid foam mattress with three premium foam layers for a universal feel that everybody needs to sleep better. And here's the deal. Lisa has the 110 program. They donate one mattress to a shelter for every 10 they sell. So go right now to lisa.com/barstool. That's lisa.com/barstool for $75 off on your new mattress. lisa.com/barstool. Let's go. Boy!
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, March 27th, and Hootie has won everyone's bracket.
Love Hootie, man. Hootie is like, he's Bruce Springsteen for sports writers, except for Generation X. You know what I'm saying?
We were going to save it for Who's Back of the Week, but Hootie is officially back. Him and his crying alligator tears, which was kind of ironic because they beat the Gators. But South Carolina.
It's crocodile tears, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's true.
Goes both ways. All I want to be with you.
Hootie is back. South Carolina has crashed the party. So is Oregon. So is Gonzaga. The final four of teams that have never been there.
Well, let me just get out ahead of the story and say I find the nickname Gamecocks hugely problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Advocating chicken fighting. There's no place for that in today's society. Like, we're going to call them the GC words.
Yeah. I already called my shot. Once South Carolina does lose, assuming they don't win at all, which I'm going to make that assumption, Game Cucked is going to be a notable headline.
That's good. In fact, South Carolina should change its name from the Gamecocks, which is offensive, to just the Cox.
Which is not.
Which is not.
It's just locker room.
It's 2017.
Yeah.
2016.
Ooh. Yikes.
Getting out ahead of myself a little bit.
Big weekend of college basketball. Well, we're going to break it down quickly. We have Jay Billis to break it down even more. We taped a little special post-buzzer beater, you know, segment. It was maybe 10 minutes after Wisconsin ripped my heart out. We'll air that in a minute. First, I want to talk about LeVar Ball, classic Friday night news dump.
Yes.
Had his son, Lonzo, because I mean, his son really isn't the story, it's LeVar, had his son get shut down and lose in the Sweet 16 after he said he was better than Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, and Michael Jordan.
Combined, right? He said, like, all put together into one player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my favorite part about LeVar Ball, besides the fact that his name literally does translate into washing my nuts, is the fact that he is now a recurring guest on First Take.
Yes.
So he actually surpassed me in terms of my career aspirations, which is to one day get on a First Take. And so now he's coming back on on Monday morning to debate against Stephen A. Smith.
Well, all you kids out there, if you want to learn about the spin zone, I'm guessing that LeVar Ball is going to have the greatest spin zone of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You don't go around telling everyone how great your son is, then have him get shut down and not even get past the Sweet 16 and not have a spin zone ready to go.
Time zones messed him up.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Alford, who has never gotten past the Sweet 16, messed him up. By the way,
traveling east.
Loved Steve Alford's move of being like, no, I don't want the Indiana job, after he clearly did want the Indiana job, and Indiana didn't want him. So only thing classier was Tom Crean showing up to that women's NIT game. Is he going to just stay in Bloomington?
Yeah, he's gonna stay in his office until they extricate him. They're going to have to send in a SWAT team. Because a regular police officer, you can't pepper spray Tom Crean because you don't know if it hit him or not, because his face is always in a state of permanent, I just got maced.
Yeah, I'm sweating from every pore in my body.
Right.
So, I mean, I wouldn't hate Tom Crean just being like, you know what, I couldn't find a job, so I'll just be a grad assistant.
Yeah,
he just goes back to school.
You know what, not even that. Yeah, he could.
I think we just created the greatest Hollywood script ever. Rodney Dangerfield will do back to school too. Tom Crean starts taking classes and is a grad assistant for Indiana.
He doesn't even need to be a grad assistant. He could just be like the guy in the front row. He could be like the Cameron Crazy of IU. Their unofficial mascot.
Yes, I love it. Other stories besides Steve Alford choking again, Bill Self, his pouch of sadness has gained another loss. 2-7 in the Elite Eight. Now, which side of the fence do you go on here?
Fire Bill Self always chokes.
In the big moment, his teams are always really, really good. So the fact that he's there, that's, you should just be appreciative of that.
No, his teams are always really, really good, but they should be better. He doesn't get the most out of his talent. That's the side I'm on.
I actually felt bad for
every
Kansas.
Coach that doesn't win the national championship. Should probably get fired.
I agree.
It's a failure.
Yeah, I actually feel bad for Kansas watching that game. I shouldn't say I feel bad for Kansas. I felt bad for Frank Mason because I've never seen a team around a player just be so bad. And Frank Mason was like the only thing that was good for Kansas, and Bill Self's little pouch just kept on getting a little bit bigger. He's got that nice little fupa now. So sorry to all your Kansas fans out there. Sorry I was right.
Also, thoughts and prayers to Drake. Are we still doing Drake jokes?
No, he's a UNC fan. So
yeah, well,
good.
I was going to say his Kentucky Wildcats lost, but good news for him, his UNC Tar Heels won.
But he actually has to win. UNC actually has to win because there's no way Drake can pull off being a Gonzaga,
no, not
Oregon,
a Gonzaga.
Or South Carolina.
He could do Oregon. I feel like he could do Oregon.
Yeah, that's true. Nike, it's hot. Yeah. All that
Jumpman,
stuff.
Jumpman, boom.
The other news we had was Doug Gottlieb didn't get the Oklahoma State job.
That's too bad.
Stunner.
Wow.
Yeah, he was
the fact that he has never lost a game at any level.
Did you see that his brother started retweeting like pictures of Doug, like with his dad? His Doug's dad was a coach, so he started retweeting
Coach's
pictures
son.
And stuff. And then there was even one picture where Doug was playing for Oklahoma State, and I can't remember what's the name of the coach he had. I think it was Eddie Sutton.
Yeah.
Eddie Sutton was drawing up a play, and Doug took the marker and was drawing it up for the whole group. And his brother was like, "Who says Doug's never coached?
He just did Simon Says, essentially."
It's like, there you go, Doug. Yeah. You got this. You're going to get it, man.
I'm just glad that football guy Frank Martin is into the Final Four.
Yes.
Really glad to see that guy get in there. I was reading a transcript of his post-game interview, and he was talking about, I guess, how he convinced his wife to marry him. That's what coaches do. I've figured that out. If they win enough games, eventually they just start talking about how they tricked their wives into marrying them because they're such weird people otherwise, like outside of their coaching job.
It's basically if you're a journalist, you go two routes. You either like, what was your relationship with your father, and how did you meet your wife?
Yep.
Those are the two nice pieces you can write up, and I'm sure people will read it before the Final Four.
And so Frank Martin said, "My wife turned me down 7 times to go out on a date. The day she made the mistake of going on a date with me, I never let her go." I think that's actually a plagiarism. He's plagiarizing Jim Harbaugh. I'm pretty sure Harbaugh was the same thing. Like, he asked his wife on 30 dates, and she just said no until she, I think, got tired and fell asleep.
Jim Harbaugh stalked his wife.
Yeah.
I think he asked the hostess at a restaurant for her number. like was like, hey, you see that woman over there? Did she leave a reservation? What was her number?
Mm-hmm.
And then took it. I might have made that up, but I also might not have.
It could happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound unrealistic.
Frank Martin, by the way, he just reminds me of Vince McMahon when Vince McMahon started doing steroids.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where like I'm half waiting for Stone Cold and Donald Trump to come out and just start shaving his Frank Martin's head at any moment. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's got that bald spot, but it's like an intimidating old man bald spot where it's totally isolated
yeah.
and surrounded by like a moat of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a scary dude, and his defense is really scary too, despite the fact he plays his own. We're going to talk with Jay Billis about that later, but I feel like the South Carolina zone needs to be rebranded because it's stronger than a zone.
Right.
It's like I want to call it the danger zone.
Yeah, it's ooh.
Highway to the danger zone.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
South Carolina danger.
Just in time for them to lose.
South Carolina G words run the danger zone.
The last thing I wanted to quickly talk about, Mark Few, he genius. He basically lost all these years and never got to a Final Four. So now he doesn't even have to win it. He doesn't have to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, monkey off your back. You got to a Final Four.
Right. He set the bar exactly low enough.
It's unbelievable. Everyone was talking about the monkey off his back. It's like he hasn't won anything yet. But that's a nice thing. You know, if you don't go to the Final Four, then all of a sudden in year 20 or whatever, I'm here, monkey off your back.
Kind of like the Steve Bartman thing. Do you think that if Gonzaga wins the national championship, they invite Adam Morrison to come mm-hmm. sit on the end of the bench and just cry during the last game?
Yeah. Recurring guest Adam Morrison.
That's right. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Get the monkey off his back, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's do – oh, last thing. I just want to call my shot again, Roy Williams. If things start going wrong with Oregon because they can play some good defense – might get that old vertigo that he had. Not
get,
you know
the
big
spins.
Stadiums.
Yeah.
You get the lights and everything. The basket. You can't see.
There's no what's wall behind. The basket. Yeah,
there's nothing behind the basket. It's hard to shoot. The shooting eye.
Uh-huh.
The vertigo eye. Roy in his plaid jacket just taking a little.
It's
stumble.
In Arizona. Dry heat down there.
Oh.
It's not easy on the system.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Maybe didn't drink enough water on the flight.
Yeah. All right. Let's do. We're gonna kick it to the few minutes that we recorded immediately after I got my heart ripped out on Friday night. It was seriously, we walked straight from MSG to the studio. Podcast never sleeps, and I don't sound good.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, March 27th, and Big Cat is dead. I'm sorry, Big Cat. Full disclosure, we're recording this right now on Friday night, immediately following Wisconsin's
10 minutes.
Heartbreaking overtime loss against Florida. But yeah, probably about 10 minutes after the basket went in, we were at the game. I just want to say, as a Minnesota fan, I'm so sorry.
That was so fucking classic. That was so, so, so classic. And they did exactly what I thought was going to happen. The game started.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
The game started, and I was like, damn, Wisconsin is so good. This is going to be easy. And then they go down. I'm like, forget it. I'm out. Then Showalter hits that three to go overtime. Highest of highs.
Yeah.
Up in overtime. Control the entire overtime.
Uh-huh.
Can't hit a couple free throws. The minute that guy, I don't even know the fuck his name is, did that, like, dribble and he had that good step and rhythm and no one was around him, I knew.
You knew.
Yeah. I knew. And
here's the thing. It was one of those situations where if nobody guards the inbounds passer, everybody blames the coach on the fact that you didn't guard the guy that was inbounding the ball. Where if somebody does guard the guy that's inbounding the ball, you blame the coach for guarding the guy that inbounds the ball.
I'm in the trust tree. Am I in the trust tree?
Yeah, of course.
There was a moment in time during the game I was like, it's going to be a lot of traveling going to Phoenix for the Final Four, then St. Louis for the Cubs opener, then back to Phoenix for the national championship
game. Counting your chickens before they hatched, yeah.
That moment is all I live for, and it was taken from me. I know it was Sweet 16, but Wisconsin had that game won in overtime, and I mean South Carolina, they can easily beat South Carolina. Fuck. And
I don't know how much of a sick human being this makes me, but I've lost a shitload of money tonight gambling. I had Wisconsin to win, and I could not stop laughing, filming you.
It's not a curse because Hank and I have seen, we saw Wisconsin beat Kentucky in the 2015 Final Four, the famous undefeated Kentucky team. We also saw the Cubs win game one of the NLCS with that Miguel Montero grand slam to the bleachers. Besides those two moments, though, I think we've been together for like 16 losses, and I have to say it because I always do, including the only loss Undertaker had in WrestleMania.
Right.
Undertaker is like 30-1 in WrestleMania. Hank and I were together for the one.
Okay, there are two things I want to address right now. Number one is, I don't even know if you know this, Big Cat, but when you lost, you've been trying to bring the dab back for the longest time.
Back.
When you lost, you buried your face into your elbow.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like an instinctual thing.
Yeah, it was.
But you lost with a dab.
I saw that picture. It was like, you know, like when little babies, like newborn babies, curl up like they're still in the mother's womb.
Your fetal position is the dab.
Yeah.
And I got to respect that.
I'm like reflexively, when my body goes numb, I just go directly to like a dab.
The second thing I want to bring up is I want to get your take on this. If we're going to make a Mount Rushmore of teams that Wisconsin has lost to, I actually tell you what, let's power rank it. It's not Mount Rushmore season. Let's power rank it. Duke, Kentucky, and Florida.
I mean, all those teams are the worst. Duke was the worst because it's Duke basketball. Kentucky, I mean, that Final Four, Hank, the 2014, that was a buzzer beater in the Final Four in front of our face. Little known fact, we were like handed the Burger King CEO's tickets like with 5 minutes left in the game. And we went and sat, and it was like three rows away from where Harrison hit that three-pointer, right in my eye. You know, this isn't anywhere near.
Look, it was almost like he was personally disrespecting
you. I don't want a pity party. The Cubs.
We're not going to make this all about
the Cubs.
Your
are the World Series defending World Series champions. The Blackhawks are about to go on a run. Wisconsin sports will forever just like take my heart, rip it out. Shove it down a well, light the well on fire, then nuke the well, then take the charred heart and be like, wow, he's still alive, and then bomb it again, and then shoot it into outer space.
Does it make you feel any better at all knowing that Aaron Rodgers experienced a little bit of the same heartbreak that you experienced?
Fuck you, Aaron Rodgers. Come on the podcast. Be a man.
Okay.
That's it. I don't have anything else. Like I said, I'll be fine by Sunday. That's why we're taping this right now. Right now, that one sucked. It sucked. Wisconsin was going to go to the Final Four. And now, guess what? You know what? That's on you, NCAA, and the refs. Now you get South Carolina and Florida, the shittiest fucking game, the Steve Spurrier Bowl.
Let's really find out how big of a Wisconsin fan you are right now. Are you rooting for Florida to make the Final Four?
No, I don't fucking care.
Okay,
I'm rooting for whatever bet I bet.
All right, so you're not you're not the Xavier fans.
No,
you're not the Gonzaga
fuck Florida.
Guys.
And special shout out to that one guy, that Stooley. What a dick! I was like in a puddle, and he just was like, "Big Cat, you're the man." But that fucking sucked for you. You guys fucking suck.
Instantly
after the game.
Here's one thing that I definitely noticed. Walking into the stadium tonight, everybody outside while we're walking, it was like, Big Cat, let's go. We were walking in, giving you a lot of high fives. Walking out, I was next to you, and everybody was like, PFT, nice to see you.
PFT, like, stay away.
So they get it.
Yeah.
They get it. They were
except the one guy who tried to hand me a phone call of his friend to talk to him on the phone.
This is bad radio, but have you seen the picture of the shot?
Oh, yeah. Bad radio. Here we go. Watch it, Paquette.
Hold it.
Why?
Let's listen to you watch it.
That one in.
I'm like right behind the ball, too.
Did he get it off in time?
He shot a floater from like 45 feet away.
And it's like the worst form.
Yeah.
His body is all contorted. Fuck it.
Chomp chomp.
All right, let's do our usual Monday business. Who's back of the week? Mm-hmm. The Tiger Woods Memorial. What were you saying his odds were?
Tiger Woods, 101 odds to win the Masters. Jump on it now before they go down.
Should we wet the beak?
I think we have to. 101. You don't see those odds come around that often for like a legend.
Yeah, for a guy who won't even play in the tournament.
You never know. He might put it all together.
Those are the best odds I've ever seen for a guy who's not even going to play in the tournament.
That's right. So
usually they don't even put those odds out there.
Who's back of the week? Hank, do you want to go first?
My who's back of the week is Naps. Speaking of the Masters.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big nap weekend.
Took a nap all like three times on Saturday. Masters coming up this Sunday. It's just the next like 2 months, Saturday and Sunday.
Springtime is a great time to nap.
It is a great time to nap because in the wintertime, you take a nap and then it's just nighttime. So then your nap is just your sleep.
You're all thrown off. Yeah.
Springtime, you take that little 3 o'clock afternoon nap. You still wake up around five and it's like, ooh. Mm-hmm. Still a little treat at the end of the day.
A nap in the winter can actually ruin 2 days. It ruins that day, and then it ruins your entire next day, too. And you walk in to work, and it's like, next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you haven't done shit.
Right.
And you're like, what'd you do? Oh, I took a nap 3 days ago.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I get it. Yeah.
But spring, good nap season.
Great nap
good
season.
Good call. Spring, I would rank it, power ranking nap seasons, fall number one, spring number two.
Disagree. I would say spring number one. Summer number two, a nice little Sunday afternoon when you've been day drinking nap on in the summertime, that's a good nap.
I don't know. I like that Saturday afternoon fall nap. When like right when the Notre Dame game comes on, you don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'll just nap through the first half of this.
That's
then you
just
wake
because
up
of Brian Kelly's football style. That's what actually puts you to sleep.
Yeah. PFT, what do you got?
My who's back of the week is Plaid.
Really?
Huge week for Plaid. I'm a huge Plaid guy. Plaid's my favorite color. I know it's not technically a color, but come on.
It's not Plaid season.
It's
this
a color.
Is a bold move by you.
Yeah. Plaid's
fashion,
back.
Our fashion expert.
Plaid's back. Plaid's back. By the way, that's a really low bar is calling somebody on the show a fashion expert.
We are, fashionistas.
Yes, fashion forward. I love Plaid. It's the strongest color there is because it's a combination of lots of other colors that comes together to make one beautiful, orgasmic little design.
Yep.
We've got Roy Williams rocking the Plaid. We've got Frank Martin rocking the Plaid. I actually think the NFL, if you're the Washington Redskins, here's what you can do. You don't have to do the color rush.
Our words.
But you can do a Plaid color rush jersey. Who says no to that?
Also, the Pacific Northwest is back, and that's
flannel.
The home of Plaid and flannel.
Yeah.
Right? A little grunge.
Lumbersexual.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that still a thing? Are the kids still doing lumbersex?
I think it ended with that weird picture that Eric Trump took.
Oh, where he's just fucking a tree
sitting in the
stump.
Woods by himself, right? Yeah. Like, taking a shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That sucks that it ended.
Yeah.
That's a big lumbersex.
By the way, did you guys hear just a permanent who's back? Trump may have had some ties to Russia. I don't know if you saw. Breaking news on Twitter.
Yeah, thread.
Important thread. We think we found the link between Trump and Russia, and then just do that tweet every day for the next 4 years, and eventually maybe something will happen, but not.
I'm just going to invent a bunch of different web domains and just like have one story on there. Sources, federal agents investigating Manafort's link to various Russian business enterprises, and then just link to it from a different account every day and make billions.
There's a thread every single day on Twitter that's like, this is the bombshell, Trump and Russia. Thread.
Yeah.
And then I read all of it and I'm like, all right, so all of it's just like you're just guessing?
I got over the bombshell stuff once the report came out that he got pissed on.
Well,
and then and then nothing happened. So now it's like, okay, there are no more bombshells.
You reported like a few too many bombshells to me and I was like, we gotta stop with the bombshell. Yeah. You're like, this shit's about to go down.
The piss bombshell was a huge one. You have to admit, that got your blood going.
Yeah, it did. All right, my who's back of the week, very relatable. Actually super relatable to this podcast, diets. PFT's already on a diet. My diet is officially starting Monday. Officially.
This Monday or next one?
This one. Hank, he's starting his diet.
Final Four is next weekend. Are you sure about that?
I'm ready. No, you know what? I had a tough week. Listen, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin. There's a few too many pictures being thrown around of Slim Cat, you know, 4 years ago when I was 35 pounds lighter and everyone's like, damn. Big Cat looked good. So I'm not trying to lose all 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Just maybe like five.
I'm on a diet. I saw some unflattering video clips of me wearing a dress. Ladies, I'll just let you know. I get it now.
Yeah.
You want to look good in that dress. I wasn't able to pull off my little white dress. Yeah. Now I got to get back into shape.
I've been triggered by my own pictures to start a diet. That's the first time ever.
That's the ghost of Big Cat past.
Yeah.
Like rattling his chains outside your window, being like, look at this six pack we used to. Well, you never is.
Well, it's more just that I just get tired. That's the worst part about being fat. It's not, I don't care about how I look. I've kind of like got that Hawaiian look down now, like the fat guy Hawaiian look who always looks like he's just standing up from a slot machine or a bowling alley.
We call that the Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Andy Reid chic.
But it's more just the energy, just a lot of low T. Yeah. Just get real winded.
Mm-hmm. I found myself avoiding mirrors.
Mm.
Like walking a different way across a room so I don't have to see a mirror. That's healthy, right?
You're like a vampire.
Yeah, it's pretty healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I got so fat I became Dracula.
Yeah. All right, Hank, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm summertime.
Well, we got to do it together.
Let's set it here. Let's set some ground rules. What kind of diet are we doing? Are we just doing like low-cal? Are we doing paleo?
You want to do a bet? Should we do...
weight loss challenge?
Yeah.
Well, see, this isn't fair. It's not fair because I already started my diet a week and a half ago when I did all the Soul Cycle.
And if I just don't eat for a day, I could lose probably 10 pounds because I have so much extra.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I'm not fat.
What you can also do is just start,
what are you trying to say?
Start jerking off more and lose those, lose it ounce by ounce.
All right, let's just all come together. And we'd like to help from award-winning listeners as well. Support us.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little support.
Give some diet tips.
Yeah, just tell me I'm looking good.
Did I just come up with a brand new, the latest diet craze?
Just jerking off.
Just cranking off more.
Every ounce counts.
Tell me why it's wrong.
Yeah, I can't think of one reason.
No.
Every ounce counts.
Every ounce counts. All right, let's do our interview with Jay Billis. We get everything, Final Four, Duke talk, and some paying players and how much LeVar Ball would make in that situation. Here he is. Before we get to the interview with Jay Billis, I want to talk to you guys quickly about DraftKings.com. The first golf major of 2017 is next week, and to celebrate, DraftKings.com is hosting a free fantasy golf contest with $100,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Whether you live and breathe golf or you're looking to try a new fantasy sport, now that football's over, 1 week fantasy golf at DraftKings is for you. Just pick six golfers before the tournament tees off next Thursday, then sit back and follow the action live. The tournament starts next Thursday, so hurry to DraftKings.com now. Get free entry in the $100,000 contest for golf's first major with promo code BIGCAT. That's BIGCAT. That's code BIGCAT to play for free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes. Only at DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy sports. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Listen, I got into sports blogging for the women. That's pretty clear. But there's a reason that you got into your business. It wasn't to worry about how to track your applicants or to figure out email marketing. So don't let those things dominate your time. There's software out there that can handle all the day-to-day busy work for you. You just need to find it. That's why I'm telling people about Capterra.com. Capterra helps you find the software solution for your business needs. It's an easy-to-use website with over 400 categories of software to choose from. Whether you need help with website building, customer service, or project management, Capterra is the place to go. They've got thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. And here's the best part. Using Capterra is absolutely free. There's no obligation. You don't need to register. It's a free resource that's going to help you make the right software decision. Now, you can join millions of people who use Capterra every month. All you have to do is visit capterra.com/PMT and find the software that'll help you do what you do better. That's Capterra, Capterra.com/PMT.
All right, we now welcome on ESPN analyst, former Duke Blue Devil. Actually, I think that's just a lifetime thing, right? That's a lifetime. We always hate you because you're a Duke Blue Devil.
People hate me for just generally. I don't think it has anything to do with the Duke Blue Devil thing.
Okay, so that voice, that's Jay Billis. You probably have heard him a million times on your TV. Jay, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We want to talk about a bunch of different stuff, but let's do what is the most recent, the UNC-Kentucky game that just finished, and UNC going to the Final Four. Instant reaction from that game, and you know, what does UNC look like? They obviously are the favorite now to win it all.
Well, I thought they were the favorite at the beginning, honestly. I thought for the whole year, since I saw them in Maui in November, that Carolina was the best team. And the game against Kentucky, it wasn't particularly well played throughout. I don't think either team, looking back, would be really pleased with the way they played. you know, I think Carolina's a lot happier with the result, obviously. But when at the end of the game, when Malik Monk hit those two big shots, and then, you know, Carolina's got a 3-point lead with a 1-1, and Justin Jackson missed it, and Malik Monk hit a shot to tie the game, I started thinking about, geez, this is just like last year in the title game against Villanova. And then without calling the timeout, Carolina took it down court, and Luke May hit the game winner. And then it became exactly like Villanova last year, really kind of an amazing finish. And it had a lot of parallels not only to the Villanova game and the title game last year, but the game that they played against Kentucky earlier this year. And it seemed like May hit that shot from just about where Malik Monk hit his. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In that game in December. So really, really kind of an amazing ending to the game.
Now, do you think Roy Williams didn't call a timeout on purpose, or he just didn't call a timeout because every now and then he screws up his timeouts?
No, it's on purpose. And, okay. He, you know, I live in the state of North Carolina. He gets a lot of criticism for not using timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
But that was absolutely the right call, and not just because the shot went in, but you know, in an end-of-game situation like that, if you've got under 5 seconds, maybe you call a timeout. When you got more than that, you'd rather get the ball down court quickly and go against a defense that's not set.
Right.
So you don't want to call a timeout and give the other coach a chance to set his defense and get a plan together for how they're going to stop you. It's a lot easier to get an open shot when you just take it and go. And obviously, Carolina did get an open shot. Sometimes they can win, sometimes they don't. But Luke May, the sophomore that hit that shot, for the tournament, I think the last two games against Butler and Kentucky, I think he had 33 points and shot over 60% from the field. So to have that coming off your bench is a pretty nice luxury for them.
Right. So UNC is obviously the favorite from this point on. They look like a really strong team. If Oregon can beat them, how are they going to do it?
Oregon's got some really good players. They got two like star guards in Dylan Brooks and Tyler Dorsey, and you know, Tyler Dorsey has been playing lights out throughout the tournament. I think since the postseason started, both the Pac-12 tournament and the NCAA, he's averaging like 24 games. And Dylan Brooks can get his own shot and really strong, just a big-time player. And they've got a kid named Jordan Bell who's been dominant in the tournament. The last game, I think he had 11 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 blocks, if I remember right, against Kansas. He dominated the interior, so... Look, Oregon's good enough to win. There's no question. I just think Carolina's got too many weapons. If Carolina plays well, they win. For them to lose, they're going to have to play less than well, less than their best. And obviously, their opponent would have to have something to do with that. But I still think North Carolina's won a couple games, Kentucky, Arkansas in this tournament, where they haven't played very well, and they've still won. And that's usually a pretty darn good sign about how good you are.
And then over on the other side of the bracket, the big breaking news coming out this weekend is that you're growing a beard. Mm. So you lost a bet against a parody account, is that right?
I don't know that it was a bet. I was challenged to grow a beard if Gonzaga made the Final Four, and it was Shemek Karnowski's beard, the big guy from Gonzaga. So I accepted the challenge. I knew it wasn't Karnowski sending that out, but it became a thing after a while. I thought it was kind of fun, so... So I'm growing it now. I'm a full day into it, and I have to tell you, I look glorious.
Now, so I also saw that you're not going to grow any mustache. Is that true?
Well, that was my initial thought that I'd go Abe Lincoln because Karnowski himself doesn't have a mustache, but I think I'm going to go stash. I'm trying to decide now. But I think I'll go stash with it. I don't want to look like the Secretary of War in 1836.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
C. Everett Koop. Yeah.
So that game, obviously, Gonzaga we expected to be there. They were number one ranked in KenPom all year. South Carolina, we did not. And they are playing out of their mind. This is a classic strength on strength because you have the number one and number two defensive teams. Does South Carolina have enough mojo to get through what arguably has been, obviously their conference isn't the strongest, but the best team all year?
Yeah, I think they can. I favor Gonzaga because they've got so many more scorers and shooters. You know, South Carolina's not been a great offensive team all year. They averaged in the 60s throughout the course of the year, and then in the tournament they've been scoring, you know, 70, 80 points, you know, in the 70s and 80s. So they're playing at a higher level, and they're really on a roll. They've got a great player in this kid, Sundarius Thornwell. And it's kind of funny, Sundarius Thornwell and North Carolina's Luke May were teammates in AAU basketball. So it's kind of an interesting parallel there. You know, two guys off an AAU team go to different schools, and they're both in the Final Four together. But Thornwell's a stud. And I think South Carolina, if it's kind of a physical street fight, I think South Carolina can win. But otherwise, you know, I like Gonzaga to win the game. But South Carolina's been playing at such a high level, and they're on such a roll. You kind of think it's a little bit of a coin flip going into the game. And obviously, you get to a Final Four, weird things can happen. But they got the right draw, because if I were South Carolina, if I could pick any team to play, I'd pick Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. But Gonzaga's still really good.
You wrote a book called Toughness. Is there any way that playing a zone can be tough?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, you know, what defense you play, it's a question of how you play it. So, you know, you can be a heck of a zone team. And I actually think I didn't play a lot of zone in college. My coach didn't really believe in it. But I tend to think that, you know, if you're coaching now, zone would be a great weapon to use, because I'd rather play more of my, you know, more minutes against the lesser offense. Most zone offenses are not as good as man offenses. I'd rather play against that longer. But, you know, coaches don't want to give up the control of man-to-man. And it is kind of a toughness thing for a lot of coaches. And some coaches don't, you know, think they don't understand how to teach zone, at least as well as they know man-to-man. But I don't think it's all that much different as far as your responsibilities are concerned.
Let's move on to a little bit of fun stuff here. I know that you're a lawyer. You know, you get into the politics and the mechanisms of the NCAA a lot, but I need to ask you some legal advice. My understanding is that by calling us on the phone, you've kind of accepted the fact that you are bound to give us legal advice as our lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
We do this thing every week where we call Lenny Dykstra, and we tell him that we're recording. We say, hey, you're on Part of My Take, and then we do some locker room talk with him. He seems like he's too intoxicated to understand that he's being recorded. Is that okay? Are we still on legal grounds if we broadcast that quick chat?
Boy, I haven't really looked into the law of consent to be taped when you're intoxicated.
Mm. Well,
I haven't looked,
wait.
I'll have to dive into law books on that.
Hold on, though. PFD didn't fully explain it. What if being intoxicated is just your state, like your baseline state? Like, you're never not intoxicated. Then you just become, like, that's normal, right? So then it's totally legal, right?
I guess. Maybe you'd have to have a breathalyzer on the other line to make sure that he's under the legal limit to make a decision. But usually, if you are, it's not about driving, your ability to drive. If you can make a rational decision, I think it's fine.
What about if it's like, we kind of were like, hey, it's just a prank. Like, we're just joking around.
Both of them. I think you're okay. I mean,
okay,
you know,
cool.
I'm willing to send you a bill on this, but I don't think it's a whole lot to worry about. It's not, you're not signing some long-term contract here. Unless he's incapacitated, I think you're probably on solid ground.
Well, we have a lawyer. We have a lawyer on retainer that we call often. Maybe we'll have you duel him in a segment at some point. I wanted to quickly talk about your brief stint coaching under Coach K. At what point when you started coaching under Coach K, was he like, hey, listen, Jay, if things go south, I'm probably going to fake an injury here? Did he like tell you, like, hey, we're going to have someone else come in? So did he let you know that beforehand?
No, with the team that we had back then, I was just a grad assistant, so I was the gopher. I went and got coffee for everybody and made sure they had the USA Today early in the morning. But he, with the team that we had back then, with like Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill and Thomas Hill and all those guys, boy, you wanted to be at every practice and every game. They were so good. It was just so much fun to watch, really.
Would Leitner talk shit to you? Because I've heard that he talked shit to like basically anyone who was in earshot.
Yeah, he did. Actually, Leitner was an interesting bird in a lot of ways. Like, I used to play I played tennis with him a little bit here and there, and he's a phenomenal athlete. Back when athlete meant you could do a lot of different things and it didn't just mean run and jump. And yeah, I tell people this, but you wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. Leitner could walk from one end of the basketball court to the other on his hands.
What?
So he'd get into a handstand and he could walk from one end to the other. I mean, it was crazy. And if I had been told that, I don't think I would have believed it, but I saw it a bunch of times. He's an amazing athlete in that regard.
I want to play a quick game with you. It's called Coach's Hot Seat. You can rank them, let's say, 1 to 5.
Okay.
One to six. Six is the hottest. We'll just throw it out an arbitrary number that will confuse people. Steve Alford.
Six is the hottest?
Six is the hottest.
One.
Even though he's never gone past the Sweet 16.
What, you mean like, is he going to get fired or anything?
Yeah.
Just the hot seat.
Is it getting warm?
No, it's the hot seat.
Is it getting warm?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. Okay.
All right. Bill Self.
Zero.
2-7. Elite 8.
That dude's been to 9 Elite 8s.
Uh-huh. And he's won
a national championship into a title game.
He's only won 2 of them.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe, and he's going to get in the Hall of Fame next week, so maybe they should get rid of him.
Okay. How about Cal? Another disappointing year at Kentucky.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah, another guy that should get fired. You guys are right. I flipped on this.
I'm just saying. Fired. All right, last one.
Let's get rid of him and bring somebody in that's never done anything.
Yeah, last one, Coach K.
Yeah, it's time for him, too. Games passed him by, and with that 2015 national championship, that is way in the rearview mirror.
No, that was actually won by the refs. I don't know if you watched that game. How long do you think Coach K will actually coach for? How much longer?
I don't know. My guess is like four years or so, 4 or 5, but you never
know.
Sounds
like you know. That's not really a guess. That was a specific number. Breaking news, Coach K to coach
I can still
4 more years.
Guess a specific number. You said guess. Like, okay. What's your best guess? I can guess a specific number. I don't have to say.
You're quick to it.
Do I have to guess like a period of time or?
Yeah. You were quick to it, though. It sounds like you know. 4 to 5 years.
I don't know, but that's my guess. I mean, it's just weird now. You know, I'm 53 years old, and when I was a kid, somebody being, coaching in their 60s was an absurd notion. But now, like, just for example, like Bill Snyder, the football coach at Kansas State, he's 77. Mm-hmm. And there was just a story out recently about him battling cancer. And saying that he's going to take care of it and then come back and coach. And I was like, geez, 77, and he's going to come back after fighting this issue. And I hope he does really well. But it just, for somebody my age who grew up when I did, there's still part of that you have to wrap your head around. It just kind of sounds funny for guys to be going this long. But I think it's great. More power to him. I mean, I'm kind of hoping in my 70s I'll be on a golf course somewhere and. My wife can wheel me to dinner, and I'll be in bed by 4:30 in the afternoon.
That actually sounds great to me. Yeah. That sounds like my ideal vacation.
Like that sounds amazing. That sounds really good. Yeah. Have my slippers on the majority of the day, not shave, wear an adult diaper. I'm kind of looking forward to those
years.
That
sounds sweet.
Well, yeah. If Gonzaga keeps going to the Final Four, you won't have to shave.
What you just described is basically a sports blogger's life. Yeah. That's kind of how I go day in and day out. Let me rephrase Big Cat's question to you this way. What's going to happen first, Coach K retiring or Doug Gottlieb winning a national championship?
I think Coach K will retire first, even if he goes to be 100.
So you don't think Doug Gottlieb's next up for the Oklahoma State job?
I didn't know. Considering they filled the job, I don't think Mike.
But I mean, next time he'll throw. I think he'll be throwing his hat in the ring for the next however many years until it's open again.
It's a great way to build buzz. You have to admit. Can we get some buzz going, like Jay Billis, possible coach in waiting at Duke?
Ooh,
just get your brand up there a little bit.
Well, I'm already a coach in waiting. They just told me I have to wait a really long time, like forever. But. Doug can throw his hat in whatever ring he wants. He's a great basketball mind, and I think he'd be a really good coach. But I just don't see places like Oklahoma State, like Power 5 jobs going to broadcasters like us. I would find that kind of hard to believe. But you never know.
Which coach can pull off the plaid jacket better, Roy Williams or Martin?
Well, neither one of them. I don't think plaid is a good look in that. Forum.
It's a terrible take.
Like Frank needs to get a tailor to get his clothes to fit. First of all, he looks like the guy from Talking Heads back in the day. Remember?
Yeah, he actually. I thought his jacket today was like the exact color red or burgundy of a security guard or a valet.
Valet. Yeah, guy. You throw him your keys and you're like, hey, here's a fiver.
I shouldn't even say because Frank scares the crap out of me, but he's a great guy.
Yeah. Well. Go ahead, say it.
Go ahead and say what?
What you were going to say, you were going to say Frank Martin.
You were going to say you could kick his ass?
Yeah, you say he's a loser because he wears bad clothes.
You think you could kick his tail?
No, I don't think so. Also, he's a huge Pitbull fan, so that's kind of cool of him.
He scares the crap out of me with his persona on the court, but off the court, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Like, he's a sweetheart of a person. Got a beautiful family. His wife's a sweetheart, and one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. And his off-court persona does not match his on-court persona at all.
All right. People would be mad if I didn't ask you this. It's going to be a tough question.
You sound like you're really worried about what people think, too.
Yeah, this one I am, because, no, they would be upset. I've had a long-standing, you know, like, this is something, a hill I'm willing to die on. And it's no fault of yours, but you, was it 2 years ago, you took over the Duke-UNC game? Is that right? 2 years?
What do you mean?
You started calling it, and Dickie V...
Well, I've been calling it longer now.
So Dickie V, 2 years ago, Dickie V was kicked off the Duke-UNC game. Are you worried at all that might, like, take a few years off his life? Because that's basically all he lives for.
No, I'm not. He's as energetic as anybody I've ever met. Dick's one of those guys that's going to live forever. So I'm not. He and Vince Scully are going to go a long time. So I'm not really worried about that.
Do you ever watch his periscopes? They're electric.
I don't. I don't watch his periscopes. Maybe I should. Everything he does is
you
electric.
Could do that because you took his favorite thing in the entire world from him. So you could the minimum you could do is watch his periscopes.
I should. I'll start doing that. You've made me feel bad enough that I will. I promise I'll do that.
You should feel bad. You should feel bad and sad.
So, Jay, we're big Wikipedia guys on this show. I don't know if you can tell, but that's how we do the vast majority of the prep for our interviews. And I saw something on your Wikipedia page. It said that you were involved in a lawsuit against Barney the dinosaur. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was a trial lawyer for quite a few years, and I represented a company that was accused by the owners of the Barney trademark and copyright rights of copyright and trademark infringement. So we went to trial over the issue in federal court, and it was probably the saddest episode in my legal career.
Did you win?
We did win. We won at the trial level. We got a little bit of it rolled back on appeal, but yeah, we did win. And it was actually one of the dumbest cases I could imagine somebody bringing to trial. And it was really dumb on their part to take it to trial because we were trying to settle. And when we won, I mean, that was a lot of money they had at stake just to try to, you know, teach some guy a lesson. And then we wound up winning a trial, which really, really put them in a bad spot.
So, like, anybody can just dress up like Barney now and it's not copyright infringement? Is that the gist of it?
No, they thought they owned the color purple.
Ooh.
And, the color purple existed before
Oprah.
Barney came on the scene
Oprah
to terrorize all of us.
Wow. That's a bold claim. Just trying to take the color purple.
Yeah, and I decided to fight for everyone else's right to use the color. So
you should have just taken their man card. You should have shown up and been like, purple, man card,
well,
and then walked
out. Yeah, according to the owners of the Barney trademark at the time, Kansas State, by virtue of the color of their uniforms, violated created confusion in the marketplace, and people thought they were Barney.
That's incredible.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yes,
that's a landmark legal ruling.
Now we can all see the color rush jerseys the Minnesota Vikings wear on Thursday nights because of you.
It's the least I could do, but the sad part about it was, you know, my kids were really little at the time, so they watched that crap all day long, and then I'd go to work and I couldn't get away from it. It was really a brutal stretch in my law career.
And then you had to come home at night and be like, yeah, I'm suing your favorite television character.
Yes, and one of the funny parts of it, and I can tell you this now, but it was not funny at the time, was they had a couple of these costumes that were said to have violated the copyright and trademark of Barney, but because they looked too similar, were at my house. I think I can't remember exactly what the deal was before the trial, and so part of the issue were that people were renting these costumes and using them for kids' birthday parties and things like that,
and furry conventions,
pawning it off. Yeah, well,
sex stuff.
Yeah, pawning it off of their kids at birthday parties. And so my wife and some of her friends found the thing and they used it with the kids, took pictures and everything. It was back before cell phones and all that. But when I saw the picture, I told my wife, I go, do you realize, like, you put this entire trial at risk by doing that? What's wrong with you? Ooh. And it was really kind of funny.
I follow you on Twitter. You have a great Twitter game. I'm going to give you that compliment. You, for the longest time, didn't follow anyone. So I went to your Twitter profile today to see if that was still the case so I could bust your balls. Now you follow, it's Lacey's Legacy, so I'm assuming that's a terribly sad story. That's a dirt dog move by you.
Yeah, I do, it is a sad story. But I didn't follow anybody for the longest time because Twitter would not let me follow myself. And I thought if I couldn't follow myself, what's the goddamn point? I mean, there was a little girl that was a fan of Michigan State. And there was a player there named Adrian Payne that had befriended this young girl. And she had cancer. Her name was Lacey Holdsworth. And she passed away a year and a half ago or so. And so I followed her late in her battle against cancer, and have been stayed following her ever since. And they still post off that account and raise money and everything. It's really a nice thing. But she was a beautiful little girl.
The account is at Adorable Lacey, so people can follow it there. But you basically proved to me how much of a dick I am when I went to it and I was like, shit, he follows someone now. And then I saw that and I felt even worse. So thanks for that.
You shouldn't feel worse. That was your reputation before you ever
went into that. True. All right. You've been gracious with your time. We have to talk about it because I feel like it's the only thing you want to school us on because we're, dumb like this. Kids getting paid in college, it's your issue. Are you going to be the one who takes it to the courts and wins this for everyone?
I don't need to. Other people are doing it. Okay. I've never advocated suing the NCAA, but I just find it kind of ridiculous that this enterprise makes billions upon billions of dollars and everybody gets paid their fair market value except for the athlete, and every other student is allowed to make whatever money they want, and there's no restriction on it. So you can be on scholarship, not on scholarship, whatever, and you can make whatever you want. And if an undergraduate student makes money and is an entrepreneur or writes a book or, develops a longer lasting light bulb, whatever it is, they're celebrated for that. And nobody says, hey, this is about education and it's not about money and all that stuff. And, but they only say that to an athlete. And, I find that wrong to the point of being immoral. And look, if an individual school, if wherever you guys went to school, if your school doesn't want to pay, that's fine. They can make that decision. But there shouldn't be all schools banding together in a cartel forum and saying nobody can receive this. I just think it's wrong. But hey, if I'm not, but I don't go to these games, kind of railing against the system. I enjoy the sport. But when we're talking about policy, I'm going to stand up and say what I think's right and wrong.
We should actually set up like a wrestling match, you versus Dan Dockich. Winner gets to, if Dan Dockich beats you, we keep status quo. If you beat him, kids get to get paid.
Yeah, I don't particularly like that idea for a variety of reasons.
Okay, just shooting it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, but Dan would probably bite and pull.
Yes, he would. Yeah, he would fight. He's a friend of ours, and I can assure you he would bite you.
Yeah. And I'm not sure I want to be grappling with him because he sweats a lot, and that's not a good feeling. I don't think it'd be like that Ben Stiller movie, where he's playing defense on the sweaty dude.
Oh, yes. On Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. Long
raindrops. Yeah. From a legal standpoint, last year during the bowl season, there were a couple bowl games that did not have sponsors, so we just forced our name onto a bowl game. It was a Western Kentucky game. We're thinking about doing it again next year. We're thinking also about naming it after Mark Emmert and then kind of asking him to try to sue us, and then we'll be like, hey, man, we're just using your name and just kind of flipping his whole argument on him. Do you think that, from a legal standpoint, you think that would hold water?
You could do it I would do it under the guise of parody.
Parody law, yeah.
Yeah, you can do all that stuff. They're not going to change the way they do things because they don't want to. It has nothing to do with being shamed into it. The only way the system's going to change is they're going to lose a legal battle, which they could lose with the Jenkins case coming up, the antitrust case that Jeffrey Kessler is prosecuting, or the players are going to protest. And I think both scenarios are somewhat likely in the future. That I think the NCAA is going to continue to kind of lose cases They may not lose them all, but they're not going to win them all. And I do think as the players, as we go forward, the players are getting more sort of socially aware, and mm-hmm. more, and their awareness of their power is in the marketplace is becoming greater. So I think we'll see at some point somebody will boycott. I don't know when it's going to come, but I think it's a near certainty it's going to happen. It's just a question of when.
All right, I'll rephrase this. What comes first, a player strike during a Final Four game, or Doug Gottlieb wins one game as a head coach?
Player strike.
Ooh, okay.
All right, final last question. Last question.
Are you talking about head coach in like AAU or?
He has a son. Maybe
well, he's never
like
coached
middle school.
At any level, yeah. Right? So, yeah, no. We'll say any level.
Yeah, any level.
Any level. He'll probably win a game before that because he'll coach somewhere over the summer and all that. I think Doug would be a really good coach, but I think you got to give, you know, going straight from broadcasting is a tougher sell. I think you got to get in there and do it first.
Yeah. All right, last question, because I know you have to go. If the players got paid this year, how much money would LeVar Ball take from his son's contract?
I don't know. I found out today he used to play. He was a practice squad player for the Carolina Panthers in 1995.
Ooh!
When they first came into the NFL. I didn't know that.
I didn't
know he was an athlete of any kind, especially after seeing that video of him playing old man basketball.
Yeah, it was real bad.
If I were him, I would want that video burned.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know how much you take. Probably not that much.
That's a lie. We all know that.
Standard 30%.
Yeah.
Standard
dad fee. Dad fee.
The parental 30%.
Dad right. tax, yeah.
Right. All right, Jay, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You're now a recurring guest, so that means whenever we call, you have to come on. That's a
you
legal
call me
thing.
Whenever you want.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to be. Now that I'm your lawyer, I'm always happy to be on.
Yes.
Yes, nice.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right. Thank you, Jay. We really appreciate it. What?
The problem is that kind of burns privilege. You know, if you broadcast our meetings like this, there's not a attorney-client privilege is gone.
No. Our listeners know that they're not allowed to talk about what we talk about on the show outside
no
of
sharing.
Listening to it.
Yep. No sharing. It's like they're part of it.
Thing?
Yeah.
They're all our attorneys, technically.
Yeah.
Good. That's solid. You're on solid legal ground. I like the way you think.
Yeah, you just picked up a million clients. So good for you. Good day.
I love my Indochino suit, and I want to tell you guys how to get your very own. Everybody knows I look damn good in collared shirts and formal wear. Hank said it the other day. Big Cat thinks it too. We all know that. Every guy looks better in a made-to-measure suit as compared to a generic off-the-rack one, and that's where Indochino comes in. I've got a sick one. It's blue. It's got some stripes on it. It's got a sick little lining on the interior of the jacket. Looks great. Feels great. And you honestly feel like $1 million in it. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands in the country. You can get a high-quality suit made to your exact measurements for a perfect fit. And you also get to customize the suit just the way you want it. Here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings. You give them your body measurements. 4 weeks later, they send you a custom suit. This week, my listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when enter code PMT at checkout. That's 50% off, free shipping. Indochino.com. You've got the NCAA championship coming up. You've got all sorts of playoff NBA games, NHL games, and I want to tell you the easiest way to get tickets for all of them. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I instantly find seats. I just used SeatGeek the other day. I was going to the Garden. Me and Hank got back in. Use SeatGeek to buy the tickets for it. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. And best of all, I'm going to give you a $20 rebate code for you to use on your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, click Add a Promo Code, enter promo code TAKE, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. That's a SeatGeek app, enter promo code TAKE.
All right, let's get some segments. The first up, I think everyone expected this one when the news broke. It's a Respect the Biz. It's my favorite Respect the Biz we've ever had since we started doing this segment. Friday night, late night, the game went late. Florida versus Wisconsin went to like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Apparently, a kid asked a question
to one of the coaches, and it got the real Big J journalist very upset. We had one of the guys, David Caraviello, I don't even know how to say his name, SI for Kids reporter is cute and all, but not a fan of an off-topic question at 1 a.m. when beat writers are trying to pull gamers together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got a couple questions. Number one, I agree with David Carvalho mm-hmm. on this.
Caraviello.
I think it's a good, responsible take. Sports Illustrated for Kids is discriminatory. It's for kids. Like, there's no. How come there's no Sports Illustrated for adults?
For white grown guys. grown white men.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, in the first place, you know, you're limiting your audience and you're discriminating against old people.
Excluding.
There's no Sports Illustrated for Icelanders.
Nope. Well, so, Jay Mariotta is going to hopefully head that up.
He's got a lot of he's got a lot of things to cover.
Either way, this was my favorite because you have to be a real shithead to be upset at a little kid who's showing like passion for something, you know, that's kind of a nerd, you know, like, hey, I want to grow up and be a sports writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing passion for it. He asked a pretty good question to Frank Martin earlier in the night, and this guy is sitting here, and he's upset. It just shows that there is no grumpier person in the world. It's power rankings. Grumpiest person in the world, a sports writer on a late deadline. Number two, a sports writer with a flight that got delayed.
That's right. I wish that he had gone a little bit further, though. Like, he should have made fun of the kid and been like, this kid probably lives in his mom's basement.
Yeah.
That would have been the ultimate Big J move.
I also looked up this guy's Twitter handle, and no surprise, he's complained about millennials in the past.
Okay.
So that's really smart. Yeah, like,
Is he actually a millennial?
No, he's not. He's a grown-up. He's a grown-up.
Well, we're millennials.
We are technically millennials. He's also got this weird profile picture. It's like half smug. It's a punchable face, I'll say it.
So the kid asked a question to Frank Martin earlier about like teaching defense, right?
Yeah.
And then he asked a question in the late game about somebody's mom being in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And she usually would. I don't understand why the reporter got mad about the questions.
They, you know what? They probably, knowing James Dolan, they probably didn't have free Coke and they probably didn't have the fountain. They probably, you had to pay for it.
He was grumpy already.
Pepsi.
Yeah, he was in a bad mood, but understandably so.
Yeah, exactly. Either way, that is my favorite. Respect the biz, and I just love journalists that take themselves this serious.
And I also love the fact that he didn't back down from it either.
No.
So even after people were calling him out, he was like, "Ha! Can't believe all these people that didn't even bother to get the story straight. It wasn't about the question he asked South Carolina. It was a question that he asked Florida."
Yeah. Right. Technicality.
He's doubling down on his respect to biz.
Right. Next up, we have a witch hunt. Haven't done one of these in a while. Dustin Johnson has won his third straight event, his fifth WGC tournament overall. Huh, that's kind of weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot of winning.
Yeah.
So, and he used to be a party guy.
He's hitting the ball, what, 400, 450 yards, something like that?
He stopped partying, but he used to be okay with allegedly doing illicit drugs, and now he's not? Is he?
Let's embrace debate. He's having sex with Paulina Gretzky,
right?
He's
having a second child, so that's the other thing.
The great one, he's getting some of her genes. I don't know exactly how STDs work, but I'm pretty sure that greatness is also an STD. So he's inheriting her greatness every time he has sex with her. So that might be why he's doing so well.
Dad-to-dad... What about the fact that he's having his second child? Is that somehow a performance answer? LeBron James didn't start winning titles till he had kids.
Yeah, kid two at least.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
That just changes perspective.
Having kids.
It's a mental edge.
Yeah. Having kids gives you that extra boost to really understand how to be great.
Yeah, it tells you that this game isn't that important, so you play a little bit looser.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because you're thinking about protecting your kids at all costs against all these people that are out to get them.
Right.
And so, you take all the pressure off yourself. We got
to
start having kids.
Yeah.
Hank, do you have any kids?
No.
That you know of. Little guy humor there. It's
a joke.
How much sex you have.
Yeah.
We have
unprotected.
Next up, LeBron blames. This is LeBron. He had a scratched cornea on Friday night. And on Saturday, he wore these goggles. They weren't even rec specs. They looked like chemistry goggles.
They were the best goggles I've ever seen.
Bunsen burner goggles.
Bunsen burner mixed with like a guy that goes to a shooting range for the first time.
Yes. They're yellow tinted, these weird goggles. This is such a classic LeBron move. I know he's done it before with the nose. When he broke his nose, he had the face mask. He wore that thing for a few minutes. He missed the three, and then he spiked it on the ground and threw it off and was like, I'm not playing with these goggles. Classic LeBron blames. He literally just wears these things so that then he can say these things were screwing with me. It's like when he's ripped the jersey.
Yeah, or he can look tough in front of the cameras and everybody's like, oh, look at him. He's not even taking his own health into consideration. He just wants to win that badly.
LeBron blames to the max.
Classic LeBron James being more concerned about protecting his eyes mm-hmm. than protecting his wheeze.
Ooh.
Fit in or fit out.
Yeah. Stop trying to fit in. No, stop trying to fit out. Start trying to fit in.
The scratch cornea. I'm going to start using that excuse. That's a great excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about my favorite one that I ever did? Mm. I skipped a test in high school one time because I told my teacher I got sprayed by a skunk.
Oh.
That's a really good excuse.
That is a good
Anybody
excuse.
Anybody out there need a free one?
That's a good
Nobody
one.
Nobody calls you out on it.
I like that. Either way, this made me, I reminded me of when LeBron wore the black mask. Remember that? The NBA banned him?
Yeah.
What a fucking clown. What a fucking clown, this guy. Oh, my God. We have Talking Soccer. I actually didn't even look this up. I think we won like 6-0.
And that was Talking Soccer.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't even know who we played.
It wasn't even a country.
Either way, all the nerds on Twitter were freaking out like, you know, soccer's back, America's back. Clint Dempsey's like, dude, it's March.
Yeah,
we're watching basketball like against, every other American.
Like Jakarta or something like that?
Some shitty country that probably was America. It's like Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Like we just beat ourselves.
Exact same team.
Yeah, way to go. That's the only way.
So America got scored on six times.
That's such a classic like American soccer thing. We probably just beat ourselves. We just beat a bunch of our satellite countries and like, look how good we are at soccer.
Mm-hmm. And we've got
Guam.
I think we've got a good new player too, don't we?
Sure.
But he's one of those guys that plays, he spends 90% of his life over in Germany.
He's from Germany and it's like, hey, we got this new guy. His great grandmother was mm-hmm. actually from Hoboken.
Just wait till Freddie Adu really starts to figure it out. Mm. Then we are going to be unstoppable.
Come back. Next up, we have Magical Tweets. This is for our boy Magic Johnson. Best Twitter game out there. During the UNC-UK matchup, he tweeted, waiting to see the outcome of the UNC-UK matchup.
I love it. That's the perfect Magic Johnson tweet of all time. Currently watching television. Currently watching sports.
Can't wait to see who the winner is.
Isn't this tampering, though, at some point, since he's now the president of the Lakers?
Interesting.
Every tweet that he makes, I don't care if it's about sports or not, it's really tampering.
Well, it is, because he's seeing, once Kentucky loses, who's going pro.
Ooh, yeah.
Is Monk waiting going
to
pro?
See. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
If Fox and Monk declare to go pro.
I bet you are waiting to see. I bet you're paying real close attention to see who loses this game.
Wow, let's get the who comes down on you for that. NBA? Do they get?
Nah, Adam Silver doesn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, he loves Magic. He also said nice.
I love Magic too.
Nice. I do too. Nice to see singer Darius Rucker at the SC game get emotion. I read that right for his Gamecocks.
I'm gonna do a cool throne real quick here. Cool throne, crying Michael Jordan. I haven't seen the memes, man.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them. I think the meme ran its course.
Do you follow Bleacher Report?
No, I don't actually.
Okay, so there you go. I'm sure they're doing it.
In fairness,
more than enough.
I have Bleacher Report muted on Twitter, so I may
fire fire emoji, skull emoji, skull emoji, Michael Jordan crying face. That is Bleacher Report's every tweet.
So the one thing that would bring back crying Michael Jordan is if Michael Jordan cries after UNC loss. Then crying Michael Jordan's back, and it'll get really weird.
Oh,
meta.
Okay. Now that we're talking about this, if UNC wins, Michael Jordan's got to cry. Make it a happy crying Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and send him out on the court and just have him talk shit to all the programs that they beat that year, like his Hall of Fame acceptance speech.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And beat LeVar Ball.
You know how they say, like, you're lucky in the astronomy community if you get to watch the death of a star, mm-hmm. like the supernova? Right now, we are witnessing, before our very eyes, the death of a meme.
Yes.
One of the strongest memes of all time.
And it's all those people, all those curmudgeons out there who are like, enough of the crying Michael Jordan. You missed it, man. You should have just let these memes die.
Mm-hmm.
They are like black stars. They just kind of like fall into themselves.
Collapse on themselves with gravity. Yeah,
and then it's just the Bleacher Report logo. Yeah. It's just the only thing you can see in the sky. Thoughts and prayers to finish the show. Thoughts and prayers to the city of Oakland. Roger Goodell is going to take his cock out and put it down your throat, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's it.
Was that graphic?
Yeah, he just basically said, well, put your game cock down your throat.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to shit down your throat.
Yes.
Not to quote our friend Richie Incognito, but he's going to.
He's definitely going to shit down your throat, and it's because, I guess, the city of Oakland made one last push to try to get the Raiders to stay in. The push was basically, hey, we'd really like you to stay, but we're still going to have you play in a stadium that has second base on the football field.
Yes.
And so Roger Goodell was like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Not going to happen. Either way, this is a match made in heaven because Mark Davis was, I mean, just by his look,
he was
meant to be in Vegas.
Yeah, his star burned too bright to exist in the Bay Area. He needs to be out in the desert. He needs to be in the entertainment capital of the universe.
They probably just looked at Mark Davis's closet and were like, okay, you own more than one white sports coat. You need to be the owner of a franchise in Las Vegas or Miami.
How many different Elvis jumpsuits is Mark Davis going to purchase? He seems like a guy that would be an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, he's going to live in whatever hotel has the P.F. Chang's. It's going to be great. Like being able to go to Vegas and bump into Mark Davis.
It's easy.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right. That is our show. We'll see you on Wednesday. We're going to do Kyle Schwarber Wednesday.
Yeah,
so get excited.
Interview.
Awesome interview.
Funny.
Very, very funny guy. Guy you'd want to be friends with. I also asked him how many beers he'd drink in a 16-inch softball game, which was a great answer by him.
Mm-hmm.
So get excited for that, and we'll see you Wednesday.
Love you guys.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.